You are listening to the Point Harbor Church podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
Good morning, Point Harbor Church. It's good to see y'all. Man, don't y'all love Sundays? The Lord's Day. The Lord has already been working this morning, amen. Let's see what else he's going to do through the power of his word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 13. Thank you, sir. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a blue one in front of you. And that is our gift to you. We'll be on page 1020. Acts chapter 13. While you guys turn there, I got a question for you. Do you know what your calling is? Do you know what you were created to do? You see, God made you on purpose for a purpose. You're not an accident, amen? God put you in this time, in your family, in this church, on purpose. The scriptures say, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me." The Apostle Paul goes on to tell the church, "For we are God's handiwork." Another translation says, "We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So what were you made for? I think it was Mark Twain who once said, "Most men die at 27, we just bury him at 72. Far too often, human beings who were created in the image of God lose their passion and forget their purpose, and we settle in for the long, slow, dull descent of simply existing. That's not what God has planned for his people. I think the scriptures say something about soaring on wings like eagles, right? What has God prepared for you to do? What is your calling? Let's look at it. Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 12. "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus, of all things. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, 'You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see for the sun for a time.' Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he had saw what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray once more. Father in heaven, we ask that you bless your word through the power of your Holy Spirit. No strength, no wisdom of man, no creativity, no production. It is your spirit We need you, God. Move in this place, Lord. Fill me with your spirit. We love you. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. The first thing we see in this text is that Barnabas and the Apostle Paul are called to a new mission. They both have been faithful ministers for years. And this church here in Antioch was the largest ethnically diverse church in the world. People from different generations, backgrounds, different ethnicities and traditions, all coming together under one name. And what is that name? Oh, you guys can talk back. That's totally fine. What is that name? The scripture says there is one name given to mankind by which we must be saved, Jesus Christ. The church in Antioch was slamming and successful. God was working powerfully there, but his work doesn't stop at Antioch. It's a little lesson for you. God isn't done with you till the day you drop. God has a new mission for Paul and Barnabas. And how did they discover this new calling? Well, let's look at verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, their calling came as they were worshiping. Jesus said, the Heavenly Father is seeking someone who will worship him. They were spending time in God's presence. They were seeking his face through prayer and fasting. They were intentional about removing distractions and hearing from God. They didn't give God their leftovers. Right? Like, you ever forget to pray? And you're like, oh no, it's bedtime. Now I lay me down to sleep. Right? My wife and I are trying to teach our 2-year-old daughter how to pray. So every time we make a meal for her or put her to bed or someone's sick, we say, all right, Jovi, let's pray together. So the other day I made her some breakfast, some organic waffles with some organic strawberries, with some organic scrambled eggs. I'm like, man, this is the crunchiest toddler in Portsmouth. I say, all right, babe, let's pray. So she puts her little hands together, a little smile on her face. She does like a little food dance wiggle. I say, all right, babe, now you pray. Let me hear you pray. And then she gets a frown on her face. Impatient. A little scowl on her face. I'm like, whose child is this? And she goes, Jesus, thank you for the amen. I'm like, what? I didn't quite get that. What did you? Let's try it again. Jesus, for the amen. I'm like, all right. Grace upon grace, because she is a toddler after all, right? But some of y'all in this very room, you know who you are, don't pray much better than that. Dear Lord, thank you and help me. God said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, not half your heart. Have you surrendered fully to his will, or do you want just a little bit of his will and a lot of yours? Are you believing and trying to obey all of his word, or just the parts that you like? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Is Christ the treasure of your heart, or is it something else? C.S. Lewis said, God cannot give us a happiness and peace apart from himself because it's not there. There's no such thing. Human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Are you worshiping eternal God or something else that will eventually fade? The Apostle Paul said, man, I count everything loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Are you worshiping the one who made you, or are you worshiping something that he made? And here's the thing about worship. The scriptures say God created all things for us to enjoy. Amen? It says he has richly blessed us with all things to enjoy. Man, I enjoy my wife. I enjoy my kid. I enjoy our kids. Actually, I have two of them. I enjoy my kids. Whoops. I enjoy rocking and rolling with my band. About to come out with a record, by the way. I enjoy double dry hop, double IPA. Mosaic and Citra hops. To the glory of God, of course, in moderation. I enjoy boutique guitar pedals that I have no business spending money on. Man, I love those little things. But as soon as I take the thing that is made and put it on the throne of the maker, I become an idolater. And my heart is filled with something less than God himself. Remember the Israelites? Pastor Tim was talking about them a little bit today. The Israelites in the desert, my goodness, they saw God work incredibly. Halfway through it, they built a golden calf. And they said, behold, our Savior. This is what brought us out. Let's bow down and worship this golden, shiny calf. Golden calves are not alive. They can't see you. They can't hear you. They can't help you. But Jesus is alive. Amen. He sees your need. He hears your prayer. He helps you in your weakness. Do you worship the glorious King of heaven who works all things together for good, or do you worship things? And if you're here thinking, man, you know what, Johnny, to be honest, worshiping God kind of sounds a little boring, right? I mean, we come here, you got some guy reading to us from a book, and we sing a couple songs we barely know. I mean, I don't know. I just want to go home and watch the game. I'm going to tell you something. I get that. I totally get that. I grew up in church from day one. There are a plenty of boring Sundays in my existence, right? Where I'm, no offense, Dad, he's not here right now. I find myself sitting in a pew holding a hymnal, just daydreaming about when I can leave and go to the skate park. I get it. But think about it like this. Have you ever heard of someone worshiping their girlfriends or worshiping their kids or praising their sports team or idolizing their favorite artist, just standing there watching them perform? I mean, what's happening there? They are experiencing something that's kind of blowing their minds and setting their hearts on fire. Their eyes light up when they see them. Their hearts race a little bit when they hear them. They devote more time to be near them. I just gotta have more. Man, nothing else will do. This is the best thing ever. The worship of God is similar to these human experiences. Humans were created to worship. We crave it. The psalmists say, delight yourself in the Lord. Taste and see the Lord is good. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. This is an experience. This is not some dull religious duty. Worship involves our emotions, our affections, and our desires. It certainly goes much deeper than mere sparks or fleeting feelings. I mean, your feelings are not God. I mean, we will even worship in pain and in loss like Job did, who lost everything, fell on his face and worshiped through tears, saying, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. You see, worship is about knowing and enjoying God. On the mountaintops, when you're soaring, and in the valleys, when you're crawling, because he's with us, because he cares for us. I heard a preacher once say, God knows everything about you, and he still loves you. He knows all the skeletons in your closet. And he loves you more than anybody. His steadfast love is better than life. For Paul and Barnabas, their life's calling came as they were worshiping the Creator. Point number one is simply this. Be intentional about worshiping God. Make time to marvel at your Maker. Get to know him through prayer and through his word. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me, Barnabas and Saul. The Spirit of God is choosing who he wants. Set apart from me. For who? Whose plan is it? Whose purpose is it? It's God's. It's not mine. Your calling is bigger than you. Amen. It's not about your glory. It's not about your strength or your wisdom. We're not the ones weaving it all together. God is. Set apart from me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, do y'all know Saul? Y'all know about Saul? This Saul? Saul is Paul, the apostle. The same apostle who said, hey guys, guess what? I am the least of all the apostles. The same guy who said, hey, I'm so sorry, but I'm also the chief of sinners. The same guy who said, I am weak, but he is strong. The scripture says God chooses the weak things of this world to shame the strong. So, do you feel weak? If God chooses the weak and you are weak, then my friend, you have been chosen by God to experience God's power in your life. An old preacher once said, if you feel incapable, throw yourself upon the infinite capacity of God. I mean, aren't you glad it's not up to your strength? Aren't you glad it's not up to you? Your calling does not rest upon your ability. It rests on God's ability, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is why there is no glory for you. There will never be any glory in it for you. Your name, my name, Point Harbor's name will not be the name that we praise for all eternity, will it be? Whose name will it be? Jesus, the spotless Lamb, the Son of God, the one who came from heaven to become flesh like his own creation, the Creator binding himself to his creation forever, lived a perfect life, never turned his back on the Father. He said, everything I do pleases the Father, and he's the only one in history who can say that, because the rest of us, no matter if you're like me who grew up in church, or you, this is your first time, the rest of us have turned our back on our Creator. We've committed cosmic treason. We are guilty of sin. We are guilty of siding with Satan. And you think that God's going to turn his eye to your sin? You think that God's just going to forget about it and throw it under the rug? That would make him unjust. If someone hit your friend, a drunk driver, killed your friend, and you go to court, and the judge walks up and says, you know what? It's almost lunchtime. Everyone, you're free to go. Charges dropped. What would you say? You unrighteous judge. How dare you? God is righteous. God will deal with his enemies. And aren't you glad that he dealt mercifully with you? And it's not because of you. You didn't earn his mercy. Our sin must be dealt with. How did he deal with you, O Christian? He paid for it himself. The beatings, the death penalty that was due us, he took upon himself. Perfect, blameless, innocent Son of God. The only innocent person in history was nailed to a sinner's cross. And he died. He took our record of sin and killed it and gave us his record of his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience. He said, here, this is a gift. Do you want it? Oh, Jesus, do I have to do anything? Do I have to become a church member? Do I have to give money? Do I have to serve or worship? No, man, it's a gift. Take it or leave it. I hope you take it. So it is with us. God is merciful and God is just. The cross of Christ is the one place where we see the perfect justice and the perfect mercy of God. It was the Son of God who took upon himself the wrath of God for us. There's no glory in it for you because we don't do a daggone thing. It is God who works. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to obey. That's why we glorify him. It's his glory, because it's his choosing, his power, his work, and his story. God is the one who calls, empowers, and completes your calling through his Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul experienced this so much in his own life. He went on to write the famous statement, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion." Amen? Aren't you glad? It is not... I'm moving on. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." My friend, you receive your calling from God. Some really good music there. It's a classic. You receive your calling from God, not your parents, not your professors, not your employers, not your pastors, not yourself. Your calling comes from God because your life belongs to God. He is the one working all things according to the counsel of his will. He is the one who works all things together for our good. I mean, let me state it this way. The one who has prepared the work for you to do while you were still in your mother's womb is the same one who will empower you and guide you and fulfill the calling in your life. So, my friend, what has God called you to do? And maybe you're here and you're in high school. You're like, "Johnny, I have no idea, bro." Maybe you're here and you're about to retire and you're like, "Johnny, I still have no idea, bro." If you don't know what your calling is, start by spending more one-on-one time with the one who calls. Get into his presence. Next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating 25 years of Pastor John and Miss Robin being faithful ministers at this church. And it feels a little weird to me to call them Pastor John and Robin because they're my parents. And I was there before they got the call to come here. I remember back in the 90s. And I remember mom and dad not eating a lot during this time, right? I'm looking over at them like, "You got water and chicken broth. What are you doing? What is this, some new fad diet? I don't know. Is it Weight Watchers 2.0? I mean, it was the 90s after all. They were fasting. We went on vacation like a week later. I'm like, "Where's dad at? He's always walking around by himself. Where's dad at?" He was out praying. One day in particular, we're at grandma's house, and I saw dad walking back down the road in the I remember the look on his face. Peace. Courage. Joy. Like he found something he was looking for. And I said, "Yo, Dad, we're all waiting for you. What are you doing?" He said, "Son, I'm praying with the Lord. Seeking direction. I think I just found it." And it would be, I don't know, a week later or so that they would sit us down, my sisters and I, and tell us, "Hey, we believe this is what God's calling us to do. We're going to pack up our bags from Michigan and move down to Virginia and become the lead pastor there." I remember saying, "But Dad, everything is going so great here in this church in Michigan. I mean, we've almost doubled in size. People are getting saved and baptized." I'm like, "I just built a skate park behind the church. Like, come on." And he said, "I believe this is God's call and I'm going to answer it." And 25 years later, I look around at the fruit of what answering a call looks like. Are you looking for direction? Are you waiting for your calling? You will find it in the presence of God. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Paul and Barnabas were faithful with their current placement before God called them to their next assignment. Jesus said, he who is faithful in little will be faithful in. Do y'all know that one? Much. He who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. So are you faithful in your current calling? Are you faithful in the current season that God has you in? I mean, look, we're all human, right? We're made from the dust. And sometimes we need a little gut check. Iron sharpens iron. Our mission field starts at home. Second only to our calling to worship God, our highest calling is to care for our family. Husbands, your first ministry is to your family. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Colossians 3, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh to them. 1 Peter 3, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Ephesians 6, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. 1 Timothy 5, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wives, your highest calling, second to worshiping God, is to your family. Proverbs 31, her husband has full confidence in her. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. Verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and praises her. Colossians 3, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Ephesians 5, the wife must respect her husband. Titus 2, likewise teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. It's not hard to understand. It's just hard to swallow. It may not be popular in this world, but this is the word of God. Cultures come and go, but the word of God will stand forever. You may have big dreams out there, but are you being faithful with your first calling, with your family that God has given you? Your calling starts with your home. That's our first mission field. And if you find that you are struggling with your first calling, brothers and sisters, you're not alone. You're not alone. Remember, you're a sinner. You are a sinner that has been saved. You are a stumbling saint just like the rest of us. Amen? Aren't you glad? And if you're married, guess what? You married a sinner. And if you have kids, you got little sinners. We are not here to pick up stones and throw them at each other like the Pharisees, right? He who is without sin cast the first stone. Ain't nobody in this room without sin. We don't pick up stones, we pick up each other. And this is why we have resources to help you with your first calling. Even on our website, you go to pointharbor.com, click on the ministry tab, click on the marriage sub tab. You're going to see videos from a couple of our pastors and some guest speakers that will help you with certain issues concerning marriage and family. We have a marriage mentoring program that I think has some new openings that you can register for on that page. Find a mentor to walk with you, to help you. We have point groups. starting in just a couple weeks. Find a point group. Iron sharpens iron. If you ain't being sharpened, what's happening? You're rusted. You're getting dull. We have a new program called Share the Struggle, Freedom from Anxiety. It's a brand new program we're starting. It starts in just a few weeks. You can sign up for that online as well. My wife just signed up for that too. This is one of the reasons why we are here. Jesus told Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. Tend to the flock. Care for them. If you're wounded, this is what we're here to do. We got bandages for you. If you're hungry, we got food for you. If you're lonely, we got a community for you. We want to help you heal so that you can help and heal others. Amen? This is a true story. Sergeant First Class Ryan Hendrickson, courageous soldier, a Green Beret, clearing the path for his 12-man team. He was conducting combat operations against the Taliban while rescuing an Afghan soldier, one of our allied forces, while rescuing a Afghan soldier in 2010, he stepped on an IED device. It blew up his leg. His foot was just dangling. He was rescued by his team and flown to safety. He underwent 24 surgeries and torturous rehabilitation. After being medically retired, he fought to return to active duty. He rejoined the Green Berets within a year and redeployed to Afghanistan a year later. He later volunteered to return to Afghanistan with Bravo Company, 2nd Battalion, 7th Special Forces Group. And during a firefight with the Taliban, he risked his life under heavy enemy fire to rescue 3 Afghan soldiers and to recover 2 dead bodies, because no one gets left behind. He was later awarded the Silver Star for his heroic efforts on the battlefield. The one who was once wounded and needed rescue found healing and became the rescuer. I tell you this story to say this: if you are struggling with your first calling to your family, could it be that you are in a season of life where you need to be rescued and you need to find healing so that one day you can be the rescuer for somebody else? I mean, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. This is why we gather together. And as the church in Antioch supported and encouraged Paul and Barnabas in their calling, so we must support and encourage each other in our first calling here at home. And then the next mission field, your workplace. And then after that, who knows? Everywhere we go in our daily lives is our mission field. Look at verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Prayer precedes the mission. I love this quote by Kevin DeYoung. It says this: to start the day without prayer is to suggest that the devil is feeble, God is irrelevant, and we can handle things on our own. Have y'all heard of Corrie Ten Boom? Corrie Ten Boom was a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp for harboring Jewish refugees in World War II. And she says this: is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Oof. If you can't say amen, you gotta say ouch. One more quote from the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. He says, prayer is one of the necessary wheels of the machinery of providence. God has ordained it that he works through the prayers of his people. You have not because you ask not. Are you praying for your family? Are you praying for your friends? Are you praying for your coworkers? Are you praying for your pastors? Lord knows we need it. This church in Antioch surrounded and supported Paul and Barnabas in prayer. The church's great mission, Point Harbor's mission, is the Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always. I'm always with you. This very week, we have sent some of our own pastors to Nicaragua on a mission to bring the gospel to local communities, to support our church plant, El Sembrador, with Pastor Oscar and his team, and to pray and encourage our brother, Pastor Earl. It's all for the Great Commission. We were sent a video late last night, so we're going to show it to you. Check it out.
Hey, Point Harbor. We're here in Nicaragua, so it's good to see you. We just wanted to do this video real quickly to show you God, by the Holy Spirit, has been just doing some cool things, and we're here to get some information because he's opening doors. He's, you know, empowering people. He's calling people. We have, scan the crowd, Jose. We have all these folks from the church here in Hinotega, way up in the mountains, right here. All right, we even have some of our own. Say hey. Hi. Some of you wondered where your husbands were. They came with us. So anyway, God is doing some cool things, and we're going to come back and tell you and really pray about the doors that he's opening and churches being planted. So anyway, excited. Miss y'all. God bless you. Bye.
Jenny, did you see your husband, Robbie, hiding behind Pastor John? Yeah, they're roughing it. There are some really cool things in store for this church, here, locally, and beyond. And every time we seek to take more ground for the name of Jesus, we will face opposition. Amen? Look at verse 6. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. This dude just wanted to hear the word of God, right? But Elymas, the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. The enemy will not give up territory without a fight. If you want to fight for the souls of your family and your friends, expect to take some shots. And we cannot fight forces of evil in our own strength, can we? Ephesians 6 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of" who? "God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm." We should never be surprised when opposition comes our way, when we hit the mission field at home, at work, and abroad, because the mission field is really the battlefield. We are at war with spiritual forces of evil. I mean, who can overcome that? 1 John says this, "You have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." How do we overcome? Because you're so strong? Because you're so faithful? No, we overcome because greater is he that is in you. Who is that? Look at verse 9. It says, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. God himself. Genesis, it says, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in creation. The Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove and remained on him, empowering him for his ministry. From the call to the fight to the completion of the mission, everything is done through the Holy Spirit. You will never make it on your own. You don't have what it takes. Not fighting spiritual forces of evil. I mean, I don't care how many horror movies you saw with someone blessing something and, "Hey, by the power, here's some water." Doesn't work. We need the Holy Spirit of God. We are called to do impossible things, but with God, nothing is impossible. Now, I am going to tell you about something that is impossible, okay? And that is yours truly, Johnny Houston trying to surf. It's impossible. My wife and I, we used to live in the Outer Banks. I lived a minute's walk from the beach for 4 years. You would think that I would have learned how to surf by then. No, I did learn how to float, though. That's all I'm really good for. We have friends here who surf and friends down in the Outer Bank who surf, and they tried to help me. Man, I think I broke a rib or a hip a couple times. And they said, Johnny, listen, man, you can't just lay there on the board. It's like when the wave comes, you're either just going to miss it or it's going to lift you up and blast you, bro. And that's what happened many times, like got blasted. They said, here's what you got to do, man, all right? They said, you look behind you, see the set coming in, you get in position, and you start paddling. You build momentum, so when the wave hits you, you're already moving. You're ready for it. And then you get barreled. Which I never did. Prepare for your calling. You know you will be opposed. You know your spouse is going to do that thing that annoys you. You know your kids are going to be screaming. Your coworkers are going to be tripping. Drivers are going to be flipping. You know you're going to be opposed daily. Expect it. Don't let the waves destroy you. Don't miss out on the opportunity to drop in on the ride of your life. Prepare for it. Build momentum for it by being filled with the Holy Spirit before the opposition hits you. The Apostle Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he takes a bold stand against this magician, false prophet guy. Now let's look at the fruit of what happened. It says, verse 12, then the proconsul believed when he saw that what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. The Holy Spirit brought this mission to completion for the proconsul because he believed. Mission accomplished. Who in your life needs to be fought for? Who in your life needs healing? Are you facing opposition in your mission? Do you know what you were clearly called to do? This past week in staff meeting before they went to Nicaragua, Pastor John was talking with all of us around the table in the meeting. And he said, guys, look, I've been praying about something since sabbatical. It's epic. Well, he didn't say epic, but he says it's amazing. He says, I think God is calling us to do something that we've never done before. It's bigger than anything I've actually ever dreamed. I'm like, wow. We're like, okay, do tell. What is it? He's like, I can't tell you. Gee whiz. He said, I'm still praying. I'm still seeking the Lord. Now, as a preacher's kid, we have certain perks, I guess. We hear things. So I can tell you I've heard a few previews of this epic calling. I can't tell you either. So sorry. But what I can tell you is this. We need to pray. Just like the church in Antioch, we need to pray for God's clear calling because it is God who calls. Amen? It is God who will equip and empower us to this calling. And it is God who will bring this epic calling to completion. Pray and prepare. This could be the calling of a lifetime. And by the grace of God, Point Harbor's best years are still ahead. Will you be faithful with little so that you can be faithful with much? God is with you. He has not left us to ourselves. It's not your strength. It's not your wisdom. It's not your glory. It's God's. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for your love and your grace, that you would use the weak things of this world to shame the strong, that you would use the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. We confess it is your strength alone, your glory alone, God. You are the one who calls. You are the one who empowers. And you're with us, God. You are a good shepherd. You know that we are weak and feeble, God. You know that we're made from the dust. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. I pray for all the marriages here right now that you will speak your tenderness to them, that you would bring healing to them, reignite the fire between them. Lord, do your work. There are so many great, wonderful things in store when we simply look to you and obey. I pray for the kids in this room, God, that you would help them, empower them, show them, hey, you have a purpose for them. Help us to lay down our lives. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth every day. Help us to seek you with all of our hearts. I love you and I praise you. You alone are worthy, and you're so faithful. All the wonderful things you've done in our lives, I give you glory for it. Your steadfast love endures forever. You're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Be with your people here at Point Harbor and El Cimbrador and beyond. For your glory and your great name, everybody said, amen.